Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team, assemble!
All right, let's start with our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, Andrew Mason, who we just talked to about 45 minutes ago as he gets ready to fly back from Seattle. He was at the game last night. And he talked about all the little things that conspired to work against the Broncos in their loss last night. How about this? Committed more penalties than in any game in nearly 3 years. Had as many delay of game penalties as they did for the entirety of the 21 season.
Wow.
Allowed an opposing quarterback with 5 starts in the last 8 seasons to complete his first 13 passes. Lost 2 fumbles at the 1-yard line, which hasn't been done since a replacement team for the Kansas City Chiefs in 1987. And then decided that a 64-yard field goal, which has, in the history of the NFL, a 2-41 success rate. Gosh. From 64-plus, was better than going with 4th and 5 with a ball in the hands of your quarterback who you're paying $250 million to over the next 5 years. Whew. How's that for an opening night?
That is just ouch. How many penalties did they have last night? You know?
They had a total, and by the way, those aren't all the accepted penalties. There were a couple that weren't even accepted. I think Bolsey got away with one that wasn't accepted. But, yeah, penalties. They had 12 for 106.
Oh, Moses.
Mike McCarthy sitting back saying that was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about the classic blunder, shooting yourself in the foot. And, listen, anytime you have pre-snap penalties, now the crowd noise has a lot to do with it. A lot to do with it. But when you have pre-snap penalties, pre-snap mistakes, you know, all those things, when you're late, that's when those penalties happen. Why are you late? Crowd noise is part of it. The other part, you're not prepared for that speed. You're not prepared in that moment. Why? And I was on board, man. I was on board with keeping guys fresh, Mike. But Nathaniel Hackett knows this about me. I'm with him win or tie. You lose, and we're going to have a problem. And by the way, what about the suit that Russell wore?
See, I loved it. Seafoam green. I loved it.
It looks like he took material from a bunch of bridesmaid dresses and made a suit. Because seafoam green is a big bridesmaid color, isn't it?
I guess so. I like the look. So. I'm going to go get me a golf shirt that is seafoam green.
Seafoam?
I like it. I like it.
Do you?
I had no problem with it.
I wonder how that matches your complexion. Are you autumnal?
Is it part of my color palette? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Speaking of Russ, Will Peterson writes at DenverFan.com how Wilson said all the right things about Hackett taking the ball out of his hands. Quote, well, we've got the best field goal kicker maybe in the game. We said, where can you make it from tonight? And he said the 46. Left hash.
First off, have you ever heard of Justin Tucker?
Come on. What do you expect from Russell Highroad Wilson?
Yeah, that's a good point. He's not going to say it. We've got...
He'd probably say their punter is the best punter in the game right now.
He's not going to say, we've got the 6th best kicker in the game. I mean, of course we're going to try it. I wonder where Brandon McManus ranks among the best kickers in the game.
I'll snark aside. Mm. Your relationship with Russell is well documented. Yeah. We talked about it all summer long, how many conversations you've had with Russ. How do you think he felt about that decision?
He says he agrees with it.
I don't think there's any way in the world he doesn't think that he was a better option. But again, new situation, everything is rosy, you know, everything is awesome. And when does a team lose a team? And they certainly lost that one. There are plenty of reasons to go around why they lost that game.
Proof that we're living right now in bizarro world. Because James Merrill at DenverFan.com writes, the Broncos are about to go on a 7-game winning streak.
By the way, James did pick the Broncos to lose last
yes,
night.
But now, after the loss, he predicts that they're going to go on a 7-game winning streak. That they're going to win their next 7 in a row. They'll come back from Jacksonville, from the London game, 7-1 going into their bye.
Alrighty then.
Okay. Just when you think he's zigging, he zags.
Yeah.
Now he's Mr. Optimism. Did you see enough encouraging signs, even in defeat, that you think that this team could actually do that? Go on a 7-game winning streak, which would mean winning at home against Houston, home against San Francisco, at Vegas, home against Indy on a Thursday night, at the Chargers, home against the Jets, against Jacksonville in London.
Yeah. I mean, the likelihood of that, not very strong, but could it happen? Absolutely. And especially, Mike,
because of what? What did you see last night that gives you?
I saw an offense.
Optimism.
I saw an offense that went up and down the field, and a quarterback that took him up and down the field that wasn't as sharp as he's going to be. Russell has been consistently the best deep ball thrower in football, and he woefully missed a bunch of guys. Probably should have had a couple picked off on deep balls. Quandre Diggs in the end zone. I mean, he had to go right through his arms, right through his hands. So, how much better? If Russell completed, 69% of his passes, 340 yards and a TD? He's going to be far more efficient than he was last night moving forward. That gives you great confidence. And they won't be as sloppy. Why? Because they got a game under their belt. Because they played.
Actual reps?
Yeah.
7 in a row. Well, they lost all their momentum that they built up over the last several months. Now they kind of got to start from scratch again. But, hey, we said at minimum you got to be 2-1 in your first 3 games. Okay. You can still do that.
Yeah.
You come home against Houston and San Francisco. There's no reason why you shouldn't win both of them. And so if you're able to do that, you know, you're back on track. You're back to being on track. But you gave away all that goodwill and momentum that you had built up for months. Well, part of the spoils of victory is that you can come out and you get to write the narrative. And Shelby Harris, as Will Peterson shares with us, actually Jake Shapiro, sorry, Jake, good job, came out yesterday. He had an interview with James Palmer, our friend from the NFL Network. You can see it at DenverFan.com, where he said, hey, you know, that's what happens. You fumble twice inside the red zone. That's what happens when you give away one of your best defensive linemen.
Good for Shelby.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
You should have a chip
you've
on
earned,
your shoulder.
Yeah, you've earned the right to.
You should be irritated.
Yeah.
And that is, hey, man, there ain't nothing better than beating your old team, especially when your old team says, yeah, we don't really need you. I mean, you can't look at it any other way, right? If you're Noah Fant, if you're Shelby Harris, if you're Drew Locke, they just say, hey, see ya. Hope it works out for you guys, but we don't need you. And Shelby's the one that, you know, I mean, Shelby and Noah are playing a lot. Did Noah actually get any yards after catch by Noah?
3 catches for, I believe, 16 yards.
I don't believe, as I remember, I think every catch he was stopped dead in his tracks.
3 catches for 16 yards, yes.
Yeah. Might have had minus yards after catch. That dude is not going to break a tackle.
That is what's going on.
On the winning team.
That's what's going on at DenverFan.com.
Or not.
Going to be all kinds of fresh content coming down the road today. And you can check it all. Again, it's all free for you at denverfan.com. As the Broncos lose to the Seahawks in week one, 17-16, it is a Bronco Reaction Tuesday. We are getting your reaction to the game on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Here's one. What'd you guys think of Jerry Jeudy? Good numbers? 4 catches, 102 yards, touchdown? Didn't have a touchdown last year? Got in the end zone?
Yeah, made
showed some great speed after making that catch. Yeah. Good catch.
Really
took
good
a lot,
catch.
A lot of concentration on that catch.
Got underneath, underthrown ball, another deep ball that was underthrown. Made a great effort on the ball, and then just a great effort. Also caught one, a little like a drift route across, just kind of from left to right. Caught that and took it up the field a little bit. It was good. He was dynamic. Dynamic catching them. Well, he had the one drop, and then he threw a couple no hitters. Might be the first guy in history to have over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown and throw a no hitter in the same day. Can we get Elias Sports Bureau on that? Can we do that?
You're not going to be satisfied until he becomes Ed McCaffrey or Rod Smith.
No, I'm not going to be satisfied until he gives effort and throws a block. One block. All I'm asking is for one. That's all I need. Give me one.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be a devastating block.
So quit asking.
It doesn't have to be devastating. Just throw one.
Like KJ Hamler tried to throw a block.
Yeah. Woolen just absolutely smoked
Holy
him.
Holy smokes. That was a Jeff Saturday but pancake right
I appreciate
it. But he made the effort.
I appreciate
he
the effort.
He made the effort.
That was Jerry Jeudy. He'd run over there with a lantern, shine some light on the situation so that Woolen could see the running back better and he could hit him.
Ooh, was that Cam Newton-esque?
Dude, the one where he was out there just watching. You know which one I'm talking about, too.
Yeah, I do. I thought of you when I saw that. I went, ooh, I hope Stink didn't see that. He did.
I almost put him on blast.
Had a big drop, too, on that last
second
drive.
Second down and five.
Yep. Would have been a first down.
But listen, at least we won. Oh, wait. No, we didn't win. That's right. Forgot. Yeah, not real happy with that, but,
Dexter says Jeudy still can't make blocks, but at least he made up for it after that TD.
How do you make up? What? I don't understand that. I don't understand that philosophy.
Because Mark.
I'll never buy it.
Because
that,
Mark.
Ever.
Because, Mark, here's where you and I, yes, would I love receivers to be like Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey? Would I like my tight ends to be like Rob Gronkowski, mm-hmm. who can dominate mm-hmm. in the run game and the pass? Yes. But ultimately, what are you drafting a wide receiver that high to do? Come out and be dynamic as a wide receiver, as a pass catcher, as a guy running with the ball after he makes the catch. You're not going into it saying, well, I really think this guy can be an amazing game-changing pass catcher, but he doesn't block enough, so he's off my board. I mean, they're not doing that anymore when it comes to these receivers coming out of college. Nobody really cares.
I'm not asking for you to dominate. I'm not asking you to be our swing guard at the same time. I'm asking you for a little bit of effort. Get in the way of somebody. Try. This is still the ultimate team game. It truly is. And that's all I'm asking. Is that too much to ask? Is it too much to ask?
Right now, it is too much to ask.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
From him, yes, it's
no,
too
it's
much
not.
To ask. Take the small victories where we can, okay? Yeah. Hopefully, it'll build to where you want him to be. But like right now, let's take small baby steps.
Okay, let me ask you.
The guy was out there. He was involved. He caught a big touchdown pass, showed great speed down the sideline. Let's just take that as a win.
Okay, let me ask you this.
And then we'll add to that.
Let me ask you this. Let's say on the one he threw a no-hitter, okay, because as Javonte Williams took it to the left-hand side, bounced back outside, and then, Jerry Jeudy put a flashlight on the corner and and watched him make the tackle on Javonte Williams. You block that, and you've got a clear alley to the safety who's still 8 to 10 yards deep. I like our chances, and that's the last defender, last line of it. I like our chances, Javonte versus a safety, to at least either make him miss or break a tackle. And then you're talking about maybe a house call. Maybe that's the difference. Maybe you win on a 45 or 50 yard or whatever it was. I can't remember the exact time of the game. But maybe you make it was a Michael Jackson tackle.
Eehee.
I don't have the voice to do that right
now. No, you can't do that right
when
now.
When was that? When was that play?
You would think, another texter, you would think after all the kicking fiascos this weekend that Nathaniel Hackett might take that into account.
Yeah.
Wonder what the analytics say about that decision. That's the thing, is that one of the ideas behind hiring a guy like Nathaniel Hackett is you're getting new, fresh, innovative. You're getting somebody who understands the numbers of football, the analytics of football.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, maybe you're not going to go full Brandon Staley when it comes to going for it on fourth down, but you understand that you're not making the same decisions, especially on fourth down, that you used to make back in the day. That there's an understanding that last year, I know he has these numbers. Somebody in his ear knew that last year on fourth and five, teams were successful converting fourth and five 49% of the time.
Yeah.
You also, if you have an analytics staff and you have somebody in your ear, that person knows or should know the overwhelming evidence that suggests you don't try to kick a 64-yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, 64 yards, end of the first half, 3 seconds left, go for it.
Right.
64 yards, 5 seconds left in the game, it's fourth and, or even in this situation, it's fourth and 18 instead of fourth and five. Fourth and 18, you're at the 46. You know what? At that point, you start looking at the odds. Hey, maybe we got as good a chance of kicking the field goal as we do, or a better chance of kicking 64-yard field goal instead of converting on fourth and 18. I get all that. But you can't tell me, if you just strictly want to look at it from the numbers, the analytics, fourth and five has a higher percentage of success than 64-yard field goals. As Andrew Mason told us earlier, 64-yard field goals, 64-plus all-time, 2 for 41.
It's ridiculous.
McManus now 1 for 8 on field goals over 60 yards.
We've said it. No other way to, you can't sugarcoat it. It was just a really bad decision. But it was a really bad use of the end of the game management. Even if you thought you were going to kick a field goal, that 30 seconds doesn't benefit you, letting it run down at that particular point in time. Because if you miss it, you're not winning the game anyhow.
So the Javonte Williams 9-yard gain on 3rd and 14.
He got tackled with 1:01 left on the clock.
All right, so
let's say you took a timeout. You got 59 seconds. Right,
59. You got a minute left.
Yeah, a minute left.
And you got 2 timeouts left after this timeout.
2 timeouts left.
And you decide, hey, we think that Brandon's got a better chance of hitting a 64-yarder than Russ has converting 4th and 5.
Mm.
We don't agree with the decision, but that's their mindset. Okay, you try the field goal. You miss it. You still got a minute left. 2 timeouts. Chance to at least, perhaps, maybe get the ball back.
With a minute left, do they have to run?
No, it's you're still not going to.
You don't have to run a play.
You're not going to run a play. So it's over anyway.
Right. It's over regardless. Even if you use your last 2 timeouts because you don't want to sell them on eBay.
No, the reason they let that clock run down was because they had made up their mind. We got to the target area. Okay.
I just don't understand that.
Why didn't Russ call a timeout? Manning would have. I don't think it's a matter of the timeout. I think it's the idea that
You think Peyton Manning would have been okay in that situation with the kicker going for a 64-yard field goal instead of him not having the ball in his hands for fourth and
not a chance.
He would have pulled a five-star nutty.
Oh my god!
If you had tried to sell that on him,
right? You think this? You think that blotch on his forehead is red after when he takes his helmet off?
Oof.
That thing would have had a 50-foot flame off the top of it. They would have been like Peyton Manning, internally combusted. Get an ambulance.
Well, if you, I wasn't watching the Peyton and Eli, and they had Shannon Sharp on
right
at that moment.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that because they're too entertaining and I get too caught up in watching and listening to them than the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the rest of the Monday night games, I'll watch them. But in this case, I wanted to just watch the game. And you know, Joe and Troy are awesome as well.
Yeah.
So I didn't, but afterwards, you can go to denverfan.com and you can see the video. And Peyton's just like, he starts calling, like, all right, you got to call timeout here.
Let's go.
Okay.
Let's
and
go.
I'll tell him out. And then continues to go. And then, and by that, and by the end of the video, he is just like, timeout. He is just, you know, totally jamming his hand into his fingers. Right. Like, timeout.
Yeah, it's just bad. It's just a bad. Hey, listen though, that's just kind of what we remember because of the situation. Come on, you were horrible in the red zone. Even if you kick those field goals, I know people don't like to kick field goals, but even if you kick the field goals, well, the one fumble, Javonte's was on third down, but you kick the field goal on fourth down and inches.
I don't mind the decision.
I don't either.
In both
cases,
I don't mind them going for it. I'm glad they did. Just that's the play call you come up with. That you know, you're supposed to be bright and innovative and fresh and all this stuff and a couple of handoffs and from the shotgun. By the way, okay, let me ask you, offensive lineman, tell me how you feel about trying to run the ball in. From inside the five in reds in shotgun versus with your quarterback under center.
Well,
what?
Okay,
what's the difference?
Okay, so one, there's a couple things that are just really like shotgun on the goal line for me is a non-starter right off the bat. One, it eliminates the option of quarterback sneak, so your defense doesn't have to defend it. Right? And they have to think about that. They have to think about pinching in hard, and it essentially sets you up. So if you're going to do some kind of blast play to the C-gap, you know everybody's pinching down, so there should be a natural, and somebody's got to hold contain, so there should be a natural little alleyway there if you're going to hand it off. You know, and so one, you've already eliminated a legitimate goal line play where nine times or eight times out of 10, you probably convert. So that's gone. So we've taken that off the table. Then, and I've done the math, shotgun run takes about 0.2 seconds longer than under center run. Why? You got to wait for the snap. Then you got to put it in the belly of the back. The back is moving sideways before he goes forward. Snap it and you hand it off, you're running back to the back and the back is coming straight downhill. So there's 0.2 to 0.5 seconds longer. Well, I mean, come on, goal line is a mosh pit. It's not like you're holding block. You're just trying to, all you're trying to do is get a little bit of, like, a little bit of movement. So the other thing is legitimately the linebackers can see it. So play action to me is rendered like when the quarterback comes under center and is low and throws that play action in there. As a linebacker, man, you can't help but sell out. You see the ball handling better as a linebacker in shotgun.
Yeah, the other thing too, I know you have your package of plays.
If you're listening to this, Nathaniel, no more shotgun on the goal line.
Yeah, but the other thing too is I know you have your package of plays, but sometimes I think you just got to be able to react to what you've seen so far in the game. And here's what I saw. Andrew Beck was dispensing justice all night, blocking.
Yeah.
Just, hey,
Russ under center. Beck is my lead fullback. And I got Javonte Williams or even Melvin Gordon following this guy in.
I'd feel much better if that play didn't work than the running plays they chose to go with. You?
You love Melvin Gordon.
You blame this whole loss on Melvin Gordon.
I blame everything that happened poorly on Melvin Gordon. Thank you, Fever. No, I had appreciate nothing to, that.
No, hey, the guy, he knew he'd already been stopped. He was just trying to make a play. He knew the play was dead. He was just trying to reach the ball out to try to get over the plane of the goal line. He knew it.
And Jerry Jeudy
Javonte
shouldn't be.
Williams was far more egregious.
Jerry Jeudy shouldn't have to block anybody. I know it's part of the game, but he doesn't have to be. I just think that, okay, so then your true skill position players, your O-line, they should get three or four plays off where they don't have to hit anybody.
All right. Coming up, it is a Bronco Reaction Tuesday. The reaction today has been priceless. So plenty of hot takes out there. We'll get to them next.
You're going to need a bigger boat. It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
Why is this that you're so big?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
Mark, remember when the head coaching search began?
Yes, I do.
And do you remember what I was pushing for?
Yes, I do.
I was pushing for specifically Dan Quinn, but overall,
somebody's done it before.
Overall, the idea was I'm not gung ho about trying another first time head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And look, maybe Nathaniel Hackett will turn out to be a great head coach, but all we know here, and I know, you know, Nathaniel Hackett or supporters of Nathaniel Hackett will look at it and say, well, he should not be dragged down by the history of what has gone on here before. Okay, I choose to look at it. If you ignore history, you run the possibility of it happening again. Those ignore history. What's the saying? Those who ignore history
are doomed to repeat
it.
Right.
And all I know is that the last three first-time head coaches for the Denver Broncos were disasters. Josh McDaniels, Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio. And how else are we supposed to react here in Broncos country after watching yet another first-time head coach who I thought kind of arrogantly came out last week and said, no big deal. I've been coaching my whole life. Hey, I'm ready for this. And I'm like, really? Really? Because he went out last night and looked like a first-time head coach again.
Let me ask you a quick question. Who do you hate more, Hackett or John Elway? Listen, this is part, I get it, it's part of the learning curve. One of the things I will say is the delay of games, the amount of times that they were late at the line of scrimmage, Russell is begging for the ball. You know, and here's the thing about cadence and snap count. I get that it's crowd noise and it's really hard on the road to use it to your advantage. Get under center and snap it really quick and let's go. Let's do some quick cadence. Let's get rolling. The other thing is when you're running the ball at 6 yards a pop, 5.5 yards a pop, you know what you should do? Run the ball more. You want to quiet down a crowd. Don't give a crowd oxygen. When you throw the ball, it gives the crowd oxygen. When you're on the road, you fall in. That's the banana in the tailpipe. You fell. 42 throws? Come on. You're on the road. Sean Payton told me this one time. Never, ever get into it. Never, as a coach, never allow yourself to get into a shootout on the road.
Well, this wasn't a shootout.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is don't put yourself in a position to throw it 42 times on the road because guess what's going to happen? Something bad inevitably happens in those situations. It's impossible to pass protect 42 times in a row anyhow, but throw that noise. Come on. And like I said, throwing the ball on the road is like giving oxygen to the crowd. It just is.
Well, everything was hectic. Even on the Javonte Williams fumble, that was, again, another case where it was hectic and frantic right up until the clock hit zero, and it was a very quick snap. And I don't know, maybe Javonte Williams wasn't 100% ready to go on that carry.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that led to not securing the ball properly and getting it knocked out.
Well, I mean,
Graham Glasgow was in his lap, too.
But you're not ready. When you can't get the ball handed to you right at that position and you're not expecting the hind end of your right guard, you know, in your belly, it's not like that one is probably, I mean, I know you'll never be forgiving of Javonte because of your love for Gordon, but Javonte, that one makes sense to me.
Makes me want to puke.
Brandon McManus, by the way, on Twitter last night said 46-yard line, left hash was my line to get to. They got it there. Need to make that kick. I appreciate Brandon McManus owning up to it, but it's not your decision. You say I'm good from 46, as the coach, you should be like, and it's not just Hackett, Stooks and the special teams coach should be like, okay, thank you, Brandon, thank you.
We appreciate your input.
We'll take that under advisement.
I tell you one guy who wouldn't have made that decision, Vic Fangio. Vic didn't like Brandon. They had a little bit of
playing silly games.
Yeah. Kind of like
I really don't give a damn about that.
Yeah, it was like you and Elway or you and Hackett or you and who else do you
That's not, that's
despise?
Not, no, that's not.
I hate Elway.
No.
My heart.
No, I'm going to remain optimistic about Nathaniel Hackett, but I've been down this road before, okay? I'm sorry. I've been down this road before with first-time head coaches, and I've seen first-time head coaches seem overwhelmed by the moment and it be impacting the game decisions that they make. And we saw it again last night. So I'm sorry. And that's why this loss, while not season ending by any means, is so disappointing, because you had all that momentum that started and the wave, just a crescendo of waves of positivity all throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you give that all away and you're back to starting from scratch. And now Nathaniel Hackett has to win us over, has to prove it.
Yeah.
He has to prove that he's not Vic Fangio. He has to prove he's not Vance Joseph. He has to prove that he's not Josh McDaniels. And there was a lot of optimism. And the biggest takeaway from this game is that now that optimism's gone. And now it's back to, you got to prove it to me.
You're a stickler.
I am a stickler.
You need a handy-dandy notebook of things you like pros and cons. And just keep
it. I'm a stickler, Mark. I've lived it for the last 6 years.
I want you to keep
it. And I saw it again last night.
I want you to keep
it. What else am I supposed to believe?
I don't know. I want you to keep a notebook.
We need our handy-dandy notebook.
And list the things that really irritate you about Hackett.
When you see stuff that you have seen on a loop for the last 6 years, how else are you supposed to react this morning other than at least, if not out now, pessimism, at least skepticism? All right, put me down for a healthy amount of skepticism.
Do you feel like at the end of the day, he'll learn from those mistakes and he'll be better going forward? Will he learn from his mistakes and be better going forward?
I don't know. Because we said the same thing about Vance Joseph. We said the same thing about Vic Fangio. Right. All right, hey, okay, first-time head coach. Okay, he got that out of the way.
He'll be okay.
He'll be okay. He'll learn from it. You said earlier in the show that you did Philly and Detroit last week. Dan Campbell, Nick Sirianni, two guys who both came off their first year of head coaching last year.
We're going to have systems.
Both agreed at the end of last year, not even going into this year, but at the end of last year, that they had to give up play calling duties because of the all-encompassing nature of being a head coach.
Correct.
Correct?
Yep. And be tied in. And Nick even referenced, Sean McVay and said, hey, McVay does a tremendous job of not only calling the plays, but he can still multitask. You know, he can still talk to the defense and do all those things. He goes, I couldn't do all that. And I realized that about myself. I'm still helping game plan. I'm still doing all those things. He goes, I'll never relinquish breaking down the film and grading it. It's my favorite thing to do. But he goes, the bottom line is I realize on game day, I can't be an effective play caller and manage the football team at the same time. And I think that's most, I think that's the large majority of coaches. I think we fell victim to that with Vic Fangio calling the defense.
Time now for your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Our 9 News Bronco insider Mike Kliss reporting that Quinn Meinerz suffered a hamstring injury in the first half. That's why Graham Glasgow was out there at right guard. And we'll have an MRI to determine the severity of it today. Your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Visit ZoomCare.com to learn more about their Beyond Better urgent and primary health care clinics in Denver and Boulder today. All right. We are giving you a chance to get your thoughts, your reaction. It is a Bronco Reaction Tuesday to what you saw last night. Hopeful, even in a defeat? Did you see enough reasons to be optimistic? We'll share. We'll end on a, how about this? We'll end on a positive note and find the good things to take away from that performance last night. That's next.
It's a Reaction Tuesday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Never let it be said that we're not optimistic on this show.
Yeah.
Even in the wake of a disappointing loss last night.
It was disappointing.
We can find some silver linings.
Good.
All right, let's find the good things.
Yeah, throw them at me. Go.
They moved the ball. That offense moved the ball. They ran up over 430 yards of total offense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They weren't able to convert in the red zone, but saw a lot of wide-open receivers. I loved the way they got the running backs involved in the passing game. I've been begging for that for years. Javonte Williams. Now, we got to maybe talk about why Melvin Gordon had more carries than Javonte Williams, 12-7.
Mm-hmm.
But Javonte Williams had 11 catches.
Right.
Love well,
maybe,
that part.
Maybe you're just managing the touches. 11 catches plus whatever it was, 7 carries. Talking about 17 touches versus 12 carries for 12-2. So you're talking about 14, so 17-14. So maybe a little bit more balanced than you would hope for, though.
Some of the bootleg play action rollout type stuff. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that antiquated stuff, that Kubiak stuff.
Now we're being positive, Mark. Don't be snarky.
Oh, I'm going to be a little bit snarky.
Russell Wilson, you know, the talk was, hey, can he do more than just simply throw the ball downfield to his receivers? For the first part of the game, I was like, is he going to target any receivers? Right. Everything was to the tight ends, to the running backs.
We released the secret weapon last night. Beck.
Yeah. So those are positives.
Right.
What did you see in Russell Wilson's game? First of all, did it look similar to what you've watched over the years with Russ? And does that give you reasons for optimism? Did you even see a little evolution in his game?
I did. I saw Russ trying to get rid of the ball underneath, understanding where his check down was, dumping it off to his check down on several different occasions. That's one of the reasons that Javonte Williams had so many catches. Like really stood in the pocket for quite before he escaped. It wasn't like he was giving that time. And I saw a guy that normally is the most accurate deep ball thrower in football be off on that aspect of it. So, and still complete, what'd you say, it was 69%? Are you 60. Sure you're doing the math right?
I'm looking right now at...
Just want to make sure that you're not doing that math.
His official stats show 29 of 42, 69% completion, 340 yards and a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
So,
highly accurate.
Yeah.
And you got to figure as he plays more reps that the deep ball touch will come around as well. So there's good. That's good.
That is good.
That's good. Defensively, Bradley Chubb. Let's start with Bradley Chubb.
Right.
You know, all this talk about, hey, can you know, Bradley Chubb maybe forget about living up to being the fifth overall pick, but can he come out and have a solid season that makes you want to re-sign him? Didn't he do exactly what you would ask of a guy who was taken that high in the draft? That is, be a series wrecker, momentum changer, potential game wrecker in those big moments in the fourth quarter. He had two huge plays in the fourth quarter. That if they win this game, we're all about, wow, what a huge impact Bradley Chubb made.
Big impact. Plus, you know, Bradley Chubb is actually really good in the run as well. So, yeah, all those things. There's a very positives.
Anything else?
I thought Alex Singleton, as I told you when we signed him, dude, just every time he's on the field, he just makes plays. Flying around, dude, that blitz he had, where he just, I think it was it Travis Homer, that he just ate his lunch.
But on the touchdown.
And he ate his lunch, and then Geno Smith scrambled for a first down, I believe. But
No, that was on the touchdown. He came right up the gut and blew his guy back, but he didn't finish the play on Geno. And then wasn't that the one where Geno then stepped up and threw the touchdown to Disley?
No, he's...
Are you sure about that?
Oh, is it?
I think I'm right.
Where he threw it to Disley?
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
Watch the game, Mark.
Are you sure he threw it to Disley on that?
I'm pretty sure. Oh, Fever just said 100%. Well, I'm going with Fever.
Fever's kind of a jerk. Right?
Fever just kind of hung you out.
He did.
It's science.
What else? Come on. We got to find some more good things. What else did you like?
Sertan, tough matchup. I thought Sertan played well. At the end of the day, what did Metcalf have?
Metcalf.
And he followed him.
7 catches for 36 yards.
Dude, that's a big time. 36 yards for Metcalf?
Yeah.
That's a big time performance.
Yeah.
And he didn't get him 100% of the time. He wasn't 100%
of
the time.
No, but a lot of the time he was.
Like
on.
when Metcalf goes down into the slot, they don't. He follows him side to side.
I know, but it seemed like every time Metcalf had a catch, it was Sertan was on him. I didn't like the defensive holding call. So explain this one to me, because you're allowed to basically hold the guy for 5 yards.
You're not allowed to hold him. You're allowed to chuck him.
Yeah, you're engaged with him, right?
But you can't grab on.
Okay, so that defensive holding against him, because it happened within the 5 yards, but was it holding? Was it a good hold?
Yeah, at the very end when he was trying to break away.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
The jersey stretch. So, yes, watch the game, Mike.
The Jonathan Cooper taunting penalty.
Yeah.
Just got to know.
Dude, I sat there and saw the same videos that they see. Like, we had the official, like, at the Fox Summit, we had the officials come in and do the same video training. I saw all the videos. Do I think it's garbage? Yeah. Is it what they're calling? Yeah. Did you know it? Yeah. You, like, stand up over the top of a guy, you just got to get off and walk away. You can't talk smack.
I was waiting for the flag before he was thrown. I'm like, they're going to throw a flag there. He was taunting. The late hit on Chubb, again, that's just one that you got to know. Being a football fan, they're going to call that. You can anytime say all you want, they're wussifying the game, but anytime you come up near the head area, they're gonna throw that.
Yep.
Just know it. Do they win their next two games?
Yes.
I do. I think so, too.
Yes.
Win the next two. And a lot of this.
Then you'll apologize to Hackett.
A lot of this stuff can be.
If they win the next two, will you make a public apology?
No.
What?
No, if they win the next two. Dude, listen.
Johnny.
Dude, if this team misses the playoffs by a game, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to forget about this.
Yeah, that does. That game.
If they go 2-1, I can forgive them, but I won't forget it. How about that?
I don't know what the size of your head is, an elephant head. Like, I don't know that you can forget anything.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
You should go, you should, Halloween, you should dress up as an elephant. You just need a gray trunk. Some big ears. But your head is right there.
All right, we're done, mercifully. On that note, what a way to end it. Go out on a bang. That was as good as Nathaniel Hackett's ending. We got Chad and Nate coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.